Good to see everybody this morning. I see many shining faces out there. Wow. It's just such an honor to be with the church, isn't it? Like, we love church. And I think we love what Satan hates. He doesn't like the church. We love the church. He doesn't like Jesus' name. We love that name. Isn't it interesting how opposite we are? I love it. Turn with me to Psalm 27. And I just want to share a couple thoughts about the value of the body of Christ and the value of church life, which is what we're experiencing every time we come by faith. So, yeah, Lord, we pray, bless these words to our hearts. Help us to see as you see, that you would give light to the soul to have a clear picture of who you are and what you've done, and that your spirit would speak to the inner man. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Psalm 27, I got to say this. I was sitting two weeks ago, with Pastor Ron, and he says, "Pastor Raj, I've been thinking a lot about Psalm 27. And I said, "That's interesting. Me too. I said, "Verse 4? He said, "Yes, verse 4. And have you ever had that where you met somebody in the body and they were thinking exactly the same? And it's kind of like a witness, isn't it? That, you know, something's going on. I mean, of all the places in the Bible, like, you know, we're thinking the same thought. And Psalm 27, verse 4. Oh, I love this. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord." And that little phrase right there, "behold the beauty of the Lord." I just want to think about that one. "And to inquire in his temple." And it's been a joy just thinking about Jesus. And I've been thinking a lot about Jesus. I mean, I've been thinking about, what does he look like? What will it be like on that day when we stand before him in heaven and we will actually see his face? How amazing that will be. And when you think of Jesus, in Isaiah 53, verse 2, it says that in him there was no beauty that we would desire him. In other words, if we saw him in the flesh, he could walk right by as a common person and we would not recognize. And, you know, we could say, if I was God, I wouldn't want it that way. I want to be recognized. But God didn't work this way. And I like it. And I think it's interesting because it causes the person to go deeper in discovering him. And in the Old Testament, you know how it goes. The tabernacle was made and a pattern was given to Moses. And what is it about the tabernacle that's so glorious? Well, you look on the covering, you see badger skins. And right away, there's something hidden there. It doesn't draw the eye to look at that. But you had to go inside to find the beauty. And there's a journey on the way. And it begins with two altars, one a brazen altar and the laver. And they're both made of brass and they both represent judgment. But not, you know, we're not judged, but the Lamb of God is judged in our place. And as the priest went deeper beyond the veil, everything's different. Now everything is gold. And on the right-hand side is a golden table of showbread. And it all speaks of Jesus. Everything about it is Jesus. You could hear Jesus' voice in the New Testament say, "I am the bread of life." You could look at the table, and there's Jesus speaking, "I am the bread of life." And then you look to your left, and you see a golden lampstand, and you could hear Jesus say, "I am the light of the world." And then you look straight ahead, you see the golden altar of incense, and Jesus says, "I ever live to make intercession for you." And as you go deeper, your journey comes to a final conclusion, and it's at a mercy seat. And it's at the mercy seat that God said to Moses in Deuteronomy 25, "I will commune with you at the mercy seat." And wow, that's our life, and it's just capturing my heart more and more as I think of what real beauty is. The world says beauty is only skin deep, and it's such a lie, actually, because when you go beyond the skin and beyond the face, you find real beauty on the inside. And I thought of even some people in the Bible, one of them named Absalom. And it says about him, it's interesting, that he had beauty. And it says that, it's in 2 Samuel 14:25. It says that he, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish. So when you saw him, you were attracted. There was a sense of trust. But you had to go beyond the skin to see there was conspiracy there, there was a plot there was a wound there, and a motivation that was secret in him to overthrow his father. But in Christ, as you go deeper, what do we find? What is the beauty of the Lord? Well, I just want to talk a little bit about Jesus, and I want to talk about the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is so beautiful in every way possible because his beauty is made up of his character and nature. And when we see him, we see forgiveness. When we see him, we see his mercy that rejoices against judgment. When we see Jesus, we see unconditional love that never fails. And it's so beautiful. And you say, how can you see these things? Like they're illustrated to us and made known. When we became a believer, our eyes were opened. And this is if you would turn with me to this Ezekiel chapter 16. And in Ezekiel 16, there's a beautiful picture of this relationship where you see that God is doing everything. Have you ever noticed that it's like God does everything? Like not some things. He's doing everything. He's a part of everything. Anything that's going on in our heart, he's building something in the body, in the believers' hearts, all of us. And in this chapter, it talks about how God's desire is to decorate our soul and make us beautiful. And it's, you can't make yourself beautiful on the inside. Only God can make us beautiful on the inside. And you know what else is great about it? It's not a heavy effort of any kind. It just happens with simply agreeing with him by faith. But I like how this begins because there's two times it says, "I passed by." And Jesus Christ in the New Testament, in Matthew 20, verse 30, and in John 9, 1, when he passed by, he saw a blind man. In John 20, he saw two blind men. And when he passed by, they cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And something brand new happened. not only did they have their eyes opened, but for the first time they began to see Jesus. And I don't want to go further with that because it's so beautiful, but read this with me. In verse 4, "And as for thy nativity in the day you were born, your navel was not cut, neither were you washed in water to supple thee. You were not salted at all or swaddled at all. No eye pitted you to do any of these unto you, to have compassion upon you. But you were cast out in an open field into the loathing of thy person in the day that you were born." It is such a picture of the natural birth, but it's a picture also of how helpless we are, how hopeless we are, how polluted we are, how no one would have that kind of compassion in our condition. We could not do anything to change our situation, but God passed by. And it all begins, doesn't it? And then in verse 6, "And when I passed by you, I saw you polluted in your own blood. And I said unto you, in your blood live. Yea, I said unto them, when you are in your blood, live." And Jesus begins everything by speaking a word of life. And there's a second time that he passes by. Verse 8, "And when I passed by you, and I looked upon you, behold, thy time was a time of love." And I think we've experienced this through the years after we received Christ as our Savior, that he is constantly making known, because we have a capacity to hear it and to see it, that he loves us. And how much does he love us? And how he is making himself a bride, a beautiful bride that will join him. I love like words that help me to understand this beauty. And as this is uncovered, as this, if you will, God is painting a picture of our church life and the work that he's doing in our hearts in church life, it says this. It says, "And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swore unto thee and entered into a covenant with you. I made promises to you, and you became mine." We belong to him. He makes promises that can never fail. And then proceeds a list of God beautifying the soul, or putting ornaments into the heart of God's people. And he says, "I washed you with water." And we know what that water is. The water of the Word of God does this cleansing and it does this washing. And as we hear, we get washed from many things, from the world system and what it wants to say, and maybe our own thoughts of from the Adam nature. But now we're getting washed in the Word. "Yea, thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and anointed thee with oil." And God has given us his Spirit, and he has anointed us as believers. And then it says here, and here comes the list of the beauty of the Lord given to us from Jesus. "I clothe you with broidered work." Embroidered work is work that is weaved. It is like in Psalm 45, it talks about the needlework that is going on in the woman's soul. Categorical doctrine coming in and being weaved into our hearts. And each line upon line becomes life to us. And we are adorned in this. And then it says here, "and shod thee," or the word is to fasten up, with badger skins, and I girded these. See, badger skins is maybe on the surface, but look what's going on in the depths of the soul. And I girded thee with fine linen, which we know is the righteousness of the saints, and covered thee with silk, which refers to the royalty. We are in a royal family. The church is God's royal family. We are his prized possession. And deck thee with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, speaking of service, and a chain on the neck. And I like what it says in Proverbs 3:3, that chain speaks of mercy and truth around the neck. And then it says here, and I put a jewel, an ornament here in Proverbs 4:9, the jewel is an ornament of grace, and in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon the head. And then verse 13, again, more of this is being described, and it talks about fine flour and honey, which comes from the rock, which is Christ. All of this like types, but it's making a beautiful arrangement in the soul of God's people. And who's doing it all but Jesus? In verse 14, it says, and you in thy renown went forth among the heathen for your beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. The word Hebrew hadah means glory and beauty, which I have put upon you, saith the Lord God. God's making us beautiful, and we don't see it outwardly. And you have to go beyond the surface. But the working of Christ on the inner person, it is amazing that God can do it. And I like this thought that, like, as we see each other, how do we see each other? You know, we don't know each other after the flesh, but after Christ. And can you look at a body member and say, he or she is beautiful? I mean, beautiful. There's a picture of forgiveness there. There's a picture of patient love. There's a picture there of I've been made clean by the blood of the Lamb. There's a picture in every single believer, and I think this is why the enemy does not like us to gather together. He is so against it, especially physically and personally, because we can observe with a spiritual eye how beautiful the church is, how beautiful each individual is, and we can marvel at, if I could say it this way, a little group of Jesuses, you know? Like, there's Jesus in her. There's Jesus in him. There's Jesus in this person. I see this elderly couple. I won't tell you who they are, but I love it when they walk into church and they're arm in arm and they're quietly making their way to their seat. And I say, Lord, that's so beautiful. They're so precious. They've been here for years. And your work is amazing, how it continues. And I look at the band that was playing here, and I know three people in that band when I first got saved. Joe Hadley, Jim Hadley, Annette Bednes, and I came to their church for help from Pastor Palmer. That was many years ago. The journey has gone on, and now, through the years, the picture of the body of Christ is developing all the time in this beauty that we have for each other. When we see each other, you don't always have to say it. You just bear witness that Christ is in the midst, and we have a treasure that the devil cannot take away and the world cannot understand. Amen? Amen.
I don't I don't think the church has recognized my gift yet. If I started singing, I would even sing better than her, I think. That's amazing. Thank you. Beautiful. Who wants to hear me? You don't want to hear me. I wasn't here for like a couple services. Pastor Dan Sergioni, did we already announce that he's here? Are you kidding me? Pastor Dan Sergioni is right back there. That's him. Look at him. He's right there. There he is. We prayed for you, brother. Thanks for discovering the will of God and living for us. We love you. Man, we prayed for you. We love you. Thank you. You're a testimony of prayer. We believe in prayer. We saw the valley and we saw God pull him out. Amazing. Thanks for being with us, Pastor Dan. We love you. Wow. Beautiful. It's great to see you guys get deceived during the offering. Pastor Eugene, it was fun to watch you. Like Pastor Eugene said, God's made you beautiful, hasn't he? And you're like, yeah. Well, since you're beautiful, then you can use, instead of spending your money on buying things that make you beautiful, you can give it in the offering, and everybody's heads just like started, stopped nodding. They were like, what? I think I just got tricked. I'm not giving in that offering. I got tricked. Okay. We had some, at the retreat, the leadership retreat, we had some like homiletic like hints and like, you know, as you listen, you think like, I want to try that sometime, or, you know, gosh, I would like to develop that in preaching. And it seems like, sometimes you get like, I don't want to say the word nervous, but you need God. You need God. It's like bigger than all of those things. Like it's, you know, you're having the discussion. You're like, but then it's like, you need God. So let's pray first, but I'll just tell you what I would like to speak about. We'll see where we go. Just going to be for a few minutes here. Do you know the word to push the envelope? I want to speak about that. I think Pastor Steve DeVries, he spoke about a nautical term about buckling the bow of the ship, you know, grace and truth, mercy, grace and mercy. And pushing the envelope is, I guess it came from an aeronautical term about, you know, in the fuselage or the wings, the aerodynamics of a ship, of an airplane, see how further they could go in developing aeronautics. And they wanted to, you know, keep pushing past the boundaries and testing the limits. And so I want to speak about that. But it's about the value. I maybe put it this way. It's about, see, if I preface it, then I just say I don't have to like build it up so much while I'm speaking. And then also I want to speak about like you might not normally do, like a how to value the church, how to discover value in the church. That's what I want to speak upon this morning. Okay? So Father, speak to us this morning. We thank you for that message we just heard. God, we thank you so much. God, the beauty, just the beauty of your temple. God, thank you. Thank you, and for how deep we can go into that temple, the Holy of Holies, and how you take us there, the journey to get there, Father. So bless these words in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I just want to read that verse that he just read. It's in Ezekiel 16, verse 8. Also in Matthew 10. Okay, Ezekiel 16, verse 8. Wow. Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was the time of love. If you talked about church life, this love is very important. Agape love is very important. That's a time of love. Because this is our motivation. This is the drawing power of God. This is what causes us to see the grace of God. Because we know we're so unworthy to be loved that someone would actually give me the gift to love me. So this is very important in our discovering our value in the church. It changes. It changes my perspective towards God that someone can actually love me. And just imagine this, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Oh, this amazing covering that God gives us. And what he covers, put it this way, what he can't cover in our life. What can't God cover in our life? With thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. This amazing ability of God to draw us to himself by his love. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 36. And a man's foes shall be that of his own household. Man's foes shall be that of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So we're speaking about how to value the church, discover church life, and discover the reward that's in church life. Let's skip down. This is a big saying. This is really a big saying if we look at it without understanding agape love. Because what Christ is actually saying here is it's very important that we release our phileo loves, that we release them, and that we turn to agape love. This is how I believe that we follow God. This is what God addresses in our life. Will you respond to agape love? When it's agape love, how hard is it? When we don't understand agape love and everything is just sorting out phileo love, he chooses the hardest thing there, you know, the family, and says, basically what he's saying is, I'm going to ask you to deal with your phileo love. And then you're going to go deep with me. You're going to go into the Holy of Holies. You're going to be drawn into the holiest place of all. You can go through your suffering. You know how to recover after you have failed. You can be drawn by agape love. And it says this. This is something Pastor Schaller preached on Wednesday night, I heard. He that receiveth, He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Interesting. And now let's talk, now let's put it into practice. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. There we're talking about rewards in the body of Christ. I don't know how big that reward can be, but there's something that I can do. Instead of being, like, instead of pushing, like, the envelope of, like, phileo love. Will anybody know that I have phileo love? Wait, I really want to have a foot in agape, and I want to have a foot in phileo. I really want to push the envelope towards the side of phileo, but I want to be in the church. I want to have a deeper life. I want to go deeper with God. I don't want God to deal with that phileo love, but I want to look like I'm in agape love. I want to keep pushing the envelope that far. It's too hard for the mind of man. It doesn't get us anywhere. I want to get so close to, like, evil and to temptation. But he's saying here, will you drop it? It's so small. And he keeps going down farther and farther and farther. He's digressing. He's chopping up our lives. You know, after a prophet, let's just kind of be a little bit more general. A righteous man. Maybe it's easy. Maybe it's easy, you could say, to receive Pastor Schaller. Maybe it's not. If it is, you know, there's no jealousy, there's no competition. There's no, like, say, distrust or, like, you know, I don't like. So when it's like you receive the prophet, you receive his reward. How big is that going to be? When it's agape, it's like, that's so easy. And it's not agape love from him. It's agape love from God. He's taking, like, if you can't love your pastor, there's some other love over here that you're too close to, that you can't love your pastor, and you have aught against him, and you can't receive his reward. Then it's that simple. Then he's going to go down further, and he's going to say, you know, a righteous man, your brother. I received Pastor Shallow, but now my brother. I'm not going to love him. There's too many. You know, you're not going to take that out of my life, God. I'm going to push the envelope here. It's fine over there with him. God says, no. Receive a righteous man. You're going to receive his reward. You know, I was like Pastor Eugene, like yesterday at Outreach. You know, honestly, he cleans his car. He cleans his car just so he can take Pastor Shabelli in Outreach in a clean car. Honestly. And that's the attitude. That's the attitude. I know agape love so well. I know how to receive a righteous man. You know, when we live in phileo love, our tongue is uncontrollable. It doesn't stop. It finds reason and accuses. A reason not to receive a righteous man. You could say reasons not to enjoy the benefits of church. We hurt ourselves when we are not drawn by agape love into this holy place like Pastor Roger spoke about. And then it says this, whosoever, here it is, shall give to drink unto one of these little ones. I'll take a glass of cold water right now. Whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In the name of disciple, I'm released from phileo love. Thank God. God has spoken to my heart. I'm being drawn by agape love. So now, nobody even sees this. Nobody even sees this. It's in the name of a disciple. I'm a follower. I heard. I believe. I trusted. So we have this incredible, incredible activity in our life of giving cold glasses of water in the name of disciple. And you shall not lose your reward. Our life is based upon, will God separate us from our phileo loves? And all of a sudden we'll start enjoying life in the body of Christ. Remember, one of the greatest blessings, I just shared this over in Albania, one of the greatest blessings of my, I just remember it. It's when we came back from the mission field, my kids were in the senior year of high school. I went off to work in Illinois. It was November, like this time of year. I'm checking out at a line, had to buy some things, was at a Walmart buying some things. My wife calls me up. She said, Nick's team, they just won the state championship in soccer. I went to that checkout line. I was crying. I said, I can't believe. It just flooded me with like how good God was. It was the benefit. It's like he went his senior year. He was in the school for 8 weeks or for 10 weeks. And it was this amazing gift of grace. It was a reward. I didn't deserve it. I mean, I didn't have him in school. I didn't teach him any soccer. I didn't, you know, that didn't do anything with it. It was just this huge gift. And this is, I'm not saying that because that I know agape love, but all I know is that's a reward from the body of Jesus Christ. That's from church life. And I know that that's where it comes from. It's being separated from these natural affections that they pollute our lives. They pollute our lives. But when we live in agape love, we live over here and the reward is great. This is how we get deep in the body of Jesus Christ. When he's speaking, release that phileo love. And honor the prophet. Honor the righteous man. Give a cold glass of water in the name of a disciple. So much of our life, it's like just a little, you see a little bit. You should just see a little bit of my, you just see me on Wednesdays and Sundays. But I should have just a ton load of spiritual life outside of that. Why? Doing things in the name of a disciple. I'm honoring what I've heard. We honor what we hear. We're responding to agape love. Our nakedness is covered. That's how to. And you can go as deep as you want. The measure you meet yourself with this truth, it will be measured unto you greatly inside of the body of Jesus Christ. The benefits. We prayed for a man as a church, and we saw him live. We saw the hand of God on his life. We saw that. We saw God do a miracle because You know what? We're in a church. We're in a church that believes in agape. It's amazing, Dan. We got to see it. We were here praying for you. It's not even our prayers. Just honoring an incredibly faithful God. So the last thing I just want to want to say is we have an amazing church, and we're getting richer. We're getting richer, and our rewards are incredible. If you're new in the church, enjoy the church life in this perspective. Say, what should I do? I think that's the greatest thing that you can do. You can start exchanging your phileo loves for agape love. If you're old in the church, do the same thing. That's all God is always asking us. And let's see how great our rewards are on this earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your first amazing first love. Thank you for drawing us with cords of love. Thank you for motivating us by your love, God. We thank you, God. And show us how to value your love so we don't value our phileo love, God. And we enjoy that there's a foe. It's our phileo love versus agape love. Father, if there's anyone here today, they want Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because he loves you, he died for you. He gave his life so you could have eternal life. And eternal life is a gift. If it wasn't a gift, we could boast. So if anyone here today wants to receive Christ as their Savior for the first time in their life, just raise your hand today. Just raise your hand and say, I would like Christ to come into my life. Anyone here today want to receive Christ? Okay, thank you, God. Thank you. Christ's name. Amen.